You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey, this is Dr. Kevin Quishan, but you can just call me Kevin, and I am on the Best Practices Show with my brother, Kirk Behrendt.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're a dentist and you're on the path of growing a practice, you're trying to pick the direction you go, and health center dentistry, is it totally possible in modern day times, in modern practice era? We're going to go to the expert, Dr. Kevin Quishan, in just a second. He's going to show us the ins and outs. You do not want to miss this. So do me a favor, just grab a pen and hit the share button. Sit back. You're going to love this. Now, couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook right now as we speak. So if you have questions while you're watching the broadcast, add them to the feed, or even a couple shout outs for Kevin, because you already see this guy's a great guy. And I'll ask him the questions while we have him on live. Also, if you get these questions, or if you're watching this later on and you have questions, add them to the feed and you'll see Kevin is really good at getting back to you. And we want to make sure you get the most out of these while you're watching the show. Now, I am so grateful because even this morning, I've gotten more and more requests for shows, things that you guys want to see. We are lining them up as best we can. So keep sending them to us. And then thank you so much for all the shares. We are now up over 39,000 followers on Facebook. Over 150,000 of you have visited us on iTunes, and all I can say is thank you. So we are having a lot of fun, and we don't even really know what we're doing. We're just kind of making it up as we're going. But I think the key is that we just keep getting good people like you on. So I've got my good friend. Now, our guest today, Dr. Kevin Quishan. Kevin, I've known you for a long time. I watched you develop it not only from a great dentist to a great educator, and now you're doing some really cool stuff. So I know who you are. A lot of our viewers know who you are. But if somebody's watching this, a young dental student or somebody for the first time, they don't know who Dr. Kevin Quishan is. Give us a little background on who you are and what you do.
That's a loaded question. Basically, it's like you just already said. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I am just totally winging it, man. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're not totally winging it. You know what you're doing. So, but you started with your own practice, and then you got involved in, you know, continuing education and became a very big influencer in continuing education. And now you're still in practice. So give us a little background on what you do just on a weekly basis.
Yeah. On a weekly basis right now, it's sort of crazy. I transitioned out of Spear Education in December. So my, basically it was an evolution that's been sort of coming for years. So right now on a weekly basis, I am either in practices, coaching, consulting, either with the team or with the dentist, working on technical stuff, helping them integrate things that they've never really integrated but wanted to. Doing some dentistry in a couple of practices. I'm online a lot. Virtually working with people. Like for your show today, I was with a guy in England going over some treatment planning for him. So, you know, the beauty of 2018 is you can do a lot of stuff without being being there.
Absolutely.
So it's every week. I don't really have, sort of like you, I don't really have a set weekly schedule, which is really great. It allows me to be flexible. So mm-hmm. really varied. A couple study clubs. Speak to a couple of study clubs, a couple of groups coming up, a couple of workshops coming up. It's if you looked at my schedule right now, you'd go, dude, you have no flow. And honestly, it's okay right now. It's okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's fun like that. But I always like to start with the why before we get into the how. We're going to be talking about the hows and the ins and outs of health center dentistry. But let's talk about why this is so important in this modern era of practice. So a young dentist might be watching this going, you know, Kevin, I like these things, but is it possible? So let's talk about the why this is so important.
Yeah, well, I mean, why, especially in 2018, we've watched since I graduated in 95. I mean, we watch everybody talks about it every day. And I sort of get tired of talking about it, except we have to. Like, I mean, debt is a big deal. It's changing what the new dentist can and can't do. The healthcare system is actually messed up, as far as the legality of it. And just the way evolution, the way society is evolving, has changed dentistry quite a bit. And so what used to be the ideal, what your sort of view, your vision of what was going to happen when you graduated is more difficult today. And you hear it all the time. Like, can you have a private practice? Can you do health-centered dentistry? And can you do it in the corporate setting if that's what we have to do? So it's so relevant right now because we were moving so well towards health-centered dentistry, and then with debt and corporate, and I'm not against corporate dentistry, don't mishear me, but with that sort of pendulum swing that way, things started moving maybe back a little bit. We regressed a little bit, and now new dentists are like, well, I guess what I thought I wanted as a kid when I thought I wanted to go into dentistry isn't possible. And so, yeah, it is totally possible. You just have to do it with intention, you know, and it's really possible. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's the opportunity too, with so much out there. There's always a lot of information. Everybody talks about this, but this is a great opportunity for young dentists. And I think the world wants this, you know, people want to be healthy. We're already seeing it in concierge medicine. A lot of great professionals like cardiologists are saying, I'm done with this disease model and I'm going to start doing it the way I need to do it in order to be able to proactively take care of these patients. So it's a huge opportunity. Now, one of the things I just found out this about you, you have a master's in healthcare management. That's kind of very, well, actually it's not kind of, it's super cool. How the heck did you get that in? Being a dentist, I mean, do you just love going to school or what?
What's the deal? Funny. It's the same. How letters make a difference to a lot of people. They really don't to me mostly, but they do a little bit. In my master's program took me 2.5 years to get through. I did it when I was the director of the faculty practice at Oregon Health Science University. So I was running that practice and teaching and then doing my master's degree at the same time. It was spectacular. Mm-hmm. But it took me 2.5 years to do it. Whereas if I would have gone through as a cohort, like a 2-year, take the same classes with the same people for 2 years, that would have been an MBA in healthcare. But if you don't go through it as a cohort and you sort of do it on your own time, so it took me 6 more months, it's a master's degree. Right. And I say that because I'm like, we all did the same capstone. We all took all the same courses, except the people that did it as a cohort actually have MBA after their name. Mm-hmm. Mine is MS. And I'm thinking, you know, like, I don't know why, but I think I'd rather have the MBA because there's a lot of dentists that an MS means prosthodontics. Mm-hmm. Whereas an MBA is like, no, I know my stuff in healthcare, in the business world. And, but anyway, so I did that. When did I finish that? In 2012, I guess, maybe 13. So I was doing all, I was running the faculty practice and it was, I got to tell you, if I could have quit everything and just been in that educational process for the rest of my life, because it was I don't want to get political on your show, but it was, look at you, you're like,
oh, you can totally. I had Howard Ferrin on, he's like, can I offend everybody? I'm like, well, my grandmother watches his show.
Oh, so I was on a Howard show, it was crazy. But anyway, But it was right as we were integrating the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. And so as I'm going through learning, I'm learning from people that are so forward thinking, and the energy around healthcare when I was doing my degree was amazing because I was learning from the people that were in the trenches doing it. Oh my God, I walked out of class or got done reading what I was supposed to read, and I was so jazzed about the hope for healthcare and being in it. And so I don't think there could have been a better time for me to go through and do that degree, because I learned so much about healthcare in general. And then, it was just spectacular. Yeah,
You probably still use it every day as it is, right?
Oh, every day. Like there were courses like, you know, we all talk about, and you do too, we talk about leadership and communication and systems and management, project management. And I had all those classes. I had finance, healthcare finance, health communication, healthcare, leadership and healthcare, project management and healthcare. I mean, that's why I just ate it up. I just loved it. Anyway, you feel my energy right now. Like I dug it. Totally.
I love it. Now I think now I have so many questions for you. You gotten a chance to hang out with some pretty cool people. I mean, in your journey, and now even today you practice in Leanne Brady's practice on a part-time basis, which it's like one of the best jobs in probably all of dentistry, right?
I've known Lee for a long time.
So. I know we could. She's so classy. And you get a chance to see this. Let's start with a definition of health-centered dentistry, because somebody might be watching this and going, I think I kind of know what that is, but how would you see it? And let's start there.
Yeah, well, you know, that's funny because I'll bet our definition might be different. Health-centered dentistry for me is literally intentionally helping a patient see what optimal health is and moving towards that in a manner that is appropriate for each patient. So notice what I said, the practice is not team-centered. Now, we'll come back to that in a little bit, but health-centered dentistry is helping the patient see what optimal health is, understand what optimal health is, have hope that they can achieve optimal health, and then take appropriate steps for them. And it might take a year, it might take 3 years, it might take 5 years, but it's knowing what optimal health is. And the problem in dentistry is, you know, as you know, even new graduates, no offense, because I taught in the dental school and I still love it, but we don't really have an understanding, a deep understanding of what an optimal stomatognathic system is and what that looks like. So if we don't know it, how in the hell can we help our patients see it and move towards it? Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. It's the, you know, you could say it's the cliche, it's the old end in mind, but it's actually a picture. And this is so important now more than ever, because what we're talking about is helping patients. Patients are going to be living longer than ever. You know what I mean? So the chances of this dentistry failing, you know, you need the whole support system in order for it to work long term anyway. And I'm guessing when you're talking about health-centered dentistry, we're also introducing the behavioral side of it too, which nobody hardly ever talks about, right?
Huge, huge. Well, behavioral meaning for you, what do you mean by integrating? What type of the behavioral are you talking about there?
Well, just behavioral is more the emotional side of things. A lot of times people want to do optimal dentistry, but they don't realize like it's a big function of how well I can communicate, connect with human beings, create trust, you know, help them understand. There's words like co-discovery that, you know, everyone has their own unique definition, but basically we learn together, we trust each other. And it's based on a mutual trust, long-term basis, not so much quick hits for each person. So I know that's kind of a scattered thing, but it's important as a dentist to just chart your course. I always say this, Kevin, and as we get into this, I don't know if there's anything more important than just going to work and you do it the way you want to do it. Do you know what I mean? You go like, this is how I always dreamed I would take care of people. Would you agree?
Yes. Oh, well. And again, and in your field that I share with you now more intentionally, by the way, do you remember that that little side, because I say I share this profession with you now, that when back in 2013, when I was I had finished my master's degree and I was thinking about going into like an associate deanship maybe, or back into private practice or into coaching, I called you.
We had a phone call. I think we had two phone calls.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And that was back in 2013.
I remember because I couldn't get your name right. Quick. And I have a terrible last name too. So I'm like, I know you, you know. Yeah. And then I saw you again. And I remember the conversation at the Marriott. I think it was at the before the Restorative Academy or something like that. I mean, so our paths have intersected a lot. I do remember that conversation. And you were on the cusp of making big decisions.
Yeah. Well, then I got asked to come to Spear. So I was just like, well, put that on hold. And now I'm back. But anyway, funny, long story. But back to your question about each dentist just making it their own. And that's what made me think about you and your line of work and our similarities now, is that you know that there are people out there that just sort of do the same thing with every practice. And we'll call them consultants that are coaches. And yet it doesn't work for every dentist, right? And so one of the key things really is helping the dentist. Like, I mean, taking some deep dives sometimes, some painful dives, and finding out what really is important to them and how they want to bring that to the practice, and then create systems around that. And then the practice thrives because you really, like you said, making it, you're taking their core values and bringing them to the practice. And it's not easy to do. And some dentists just don't even look that way. So
yeah,
on a tangent, but yes, it's helping a practice be what the dentist is instead of just being a cookie cutter dental practice, right?
Right. And, you know, people have said this forever. Even Howard Ferrand, I love Howard V. He's all over. He's like, look, you want to get healthy, you get a coach. If you want your business to be better, you get a consultant. And we exchange those words. I like coaching, but there are times where you have to be a consultant. You just got to tell people what to do. And even next week, I mean, in our business, our growth, I know that I can only do so much. And then it takes up all my brain space. I got to bring in experts. I've got experts coming in that are good at the next level. You just can't assume to know it all. And you don't want to. Like, they've done it before. They know the ins and outs. Just do what you do. And then when it comes to getting help, just get the help from the right people. Because our careers were based on this. Kevin, you had people come in your life that you're like, oh my gosh, I needed to hear you when I heard you. And it sends you on the right trajectory for you. Yeah. And now you're giving back. And it's awesome to watch you give back, speak to study clubs, and all that. And it's just, it makes this profession so much fun.
Yeah, you just hang out with really, pretty much, I just happen to hang out with really smart people, and I get like a smidge of them because I don't have so much brain space either. You know, like this week, actually going on right now in Washington is, well, I guess I'm not promoting it because I love them so much, but is Leadership and Legacy. You know, Joan Undershoots has been just part of my core for a lot of my life, and Mary Osborne. And it really is just hanging around people like that. And then there's other people. One of my mentors forever, from when I went to Panky way back in the day, Margie Mannering is a dentist in Chicago. You know Margie?
Yeah, absolutely. And
she is my guiding light. Like, you would never assume that somebody like Margie, I mean, I would assume that she is, but I mean, she's not on the lecture circuit. She's, you know, I met her because she was my visiting faculty at Panky way back in the day. But I mean, she knows, her technical dentistry is second to none. Her behavioral skills are second to none. Her the way she thinks, and I mean, she's one of my guiding lights like forever. And yet, you just got to find these really smart people and latch onto them. And even when they try and run from you, probably like a few of mine have, I latched onto them and I sort of bit into them and wouldn't let go for a while, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the key too, is that you just said the magic, because a lot of dentists say, I need to find a mentor. Well, mentors don't find you. You find them.
And then
you hang on and you're like, okay, you're going to teach me. You're going to help me. I need you to help me. And then you've got to be the proactive piece, because most of the times a mentor has a pretty busy life, busy practice, and they're busy educators if that's the direction you go. But let's go back. I want to really talk about the health center dentistry and the kind of the steps and how you see it, because you get to see practices all over the country. If I'm going to truly build a health center practice in modern practice, what do I need to know about that journey ahead of me?
Well, a couple of good things. One is you need to know, you need to have a deep understanding of dentistry and deeper than, like we already said, when you left dental school. And that means having a understanding of the stomatognathic system and how it's connected, and like it's not just an inch deep. It's pretty many miles deep, but it's also many miles wide, and it's gathering this information so that you feel comfortable talking about it with your patients. But and so understanding what an optimal system is a big deal. But then it really is, and it sounds so simple, but sadly it's not, is your team. It really is all about having the support system that you need in your office with your team. And for a lot of people, that means, because how do you bring health center dentistry to it? It's you get to practice on your team, and I mean practice. Like, you practice your comprehensive exam on your team. You practice taking photos on your team. You practice making bite splints on your team. By the time they're done with that, they've felt optimal, even if all the only time they felt it was on an appliance, but they got to feel, you know, a solid bite and knowing that the muscles and joints are working great. Now they're like, wow, that's what it is. They've experienced it now. And they've experienced the exam, and they understand how important the photos are. And just that, if that's all you did, you know, with your team, you'd start moving towards health-centered dentistry, because now you have people that get it.
Yeah.
And so often they don't, they'll go to wherever and learn dentistry, but then they come back and the team doesn't know how to support them because they've never experienced it.
Right, right. And we see it all the time. No, I absolutely. And you nailed it on the head. Like, I always tell dentists, if you were going to walk into a room and it would be all dental students and you only give them one tip for a successful career in dentistry, you only get one sentence. That's it. And then you got to walk out. You know, what would it be? And everyone's like, okay, just surround yourself with great people and take good care of them, you know, and then you'll be okay. And so, but it's easy to say, hard to do. There are a lot of times you get confused. You get a lot of information. You as a dentist go back and go, ah, and they go, what did he just say? And then the team goes, just let him calm down. He'll be back to normal by Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah.
And totally. The pattern continues. But if you really get this now, I would imagine with healthcare center dentistry or health center dentistry, you're going to have to find people with the right core values though, right? These people just don't come into your office off of Indeed or dentalpost.net and say, hey, Dr. Cretion, I want a job here. And you're like, oh my gosh, that was so easy, right?
Yeah. And then just like the stomatic nathic system, it's all connected, right? You have to find the right people. Well, how do you find the right people? Well, that means you have to have some good skills to, if you want to use the word, interview, so that you find the right people. And then you intentionally, for lack of a better word, onboard with some intention to help grow them. But finding the right people is a big deal, because as you well know, you find the right people and you can teach them anything.
Right.
It really is finding people that you see the fire in them, just like you, that seem like good, genuine people that maybe have a history of something that helped them move towards health. But the interview process and that initial onboarding is critical. And then you're flying. You
know? Yeah. I think onboarding is a key word. Like, some people say onboarding, but it really becomes waterboarding. You know what I mean? Like, they just take so much. And then the dentist says, go. And the team members like, go where? And then before you know it, you're working 100 miles an hour. But it is key that you have some type of a process in bringing these. Now, you often use the word like team-centered systems. Explain that. Once you get this in place, you know, you have a good understanding of the entire system, then you find the right people. You're a big fan of team-centered systems.
I am. And the history I'll give you the brief sort of history where that comes from is, you know, back when, I guess when I started in the early 90s, and even when I was running the lab in the 80s, it really was a lot of dentist offices were dentist focused, and especially in the 70s and 60s. It was, I mean, that was the culture of the United States. It was, I have a DMD after my name. You're my patient. You have a broken tooth. You need a crown. Go out and schedule with Cindy. And then I'll see you next week. And the patient said, okay. And that was it. And all the systems in the office, which you didn't really need many because they were all focused around the dentist, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we could mesh that a little bit and say, oh, it's about the business. Because without the business, none of us would have a job. So everything we do, it's about keeping the business going. And that felt good, you know, until the 80s or so. And then in the 80s, it really became about patient-centered practice. You know that really well. And then when we were starting to develop like our why in the practice, or why we do this on Mondays and why we do the things we do, it was because we wanted the patient to have a great experience. Mm-hmm. And that felt really, really great for the team members. Like, yeah, we're doing it for the team. I mean, we're doing it for the patient. Everything's about the patient. Best experience. We want them to have the best experience ever. And it felt great. And that was evolution, I think, of the United States and the world. And then as we've evolved, you know, you think, well, the team was like, everything's about the patient, but we're right here. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was in the 90s, Peter Senge, you know, Peter Senge, fifth discipline.
Yeah.
I mean, dude's just brilliant, right? And Otto Scharmer from Germany, these guys were, you know, MIT, USC, you know, forward thinkers. And they said, no, if we develop systems around the team, it really was team centered. Mm-hmm. So now when we talk about what we're doing in the practice, it's everything we do is based on what you need to do your job to the best of your ability. And I come in every day, and Outward Mindset is a great book by the Arbinger Institute that I've just been promoting the hell out of because it says it so cleanly and clearly, right? It's perfect. But basically it's, you know, I walk in every day and I say, Kirk, what do you need to do today for you to do your job to the best of your ability? Now, I have my own needs and challenges and objectives, but I want to know what you need today. And then I look at Cindy over here and say, what do you need? And then I look at Christy over here and say, what do you need? And Rebecca over here and Michelle over here. But then they also walk in and they look at me and say, oh, Kevin, what do you need to do your job to the best of your ability? And they look at everybody else. So when we start creating, and again, if you come up with a better word, I'll pay you for it. Better word than systems in the office. I still haven't come up with it. But when we're developing systems or flow in the office, that's the only other word. It really is, it's not about the patient. It's about, okay, we need to go from here to here. Now let's all see the steps that take and who does it hit. And am I doing what you need? Am I giving you what you need to do your job to the best of your ability? So we're creating systems in the office that are really totally focused on the team, making sure that everybody, that I support everybody to do their job to the best of their ability. And they do the same for every system. And then in the end, guess who has a spectacular experience in the office?
It's a patient.
Mm-hmm. It's a patient. But yet the team every day is like, yes, but we're here to support each other. And we're doing that intentionally, and it feels amazing. And the patients, you know, and I've seen it, I experienced it. The patients walk in and they say, there is just something different about this office. Like, I don't know what they go home and they tell their spouse. There's something different about that office.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is they felt, and I'm happy to use the word, as you know, they felt genuine love in the practice. They felt this deep support. They couldn't put words to it. Mm-hmm. But that's what they felt in the office, because it was a team that everybody has everybody's back and all the systems are built around each other. And in the end, it works better that way. So that was a long diatribe. That was a long answer. But that's team centered.
Yeah. And you and I are on the same page as this. Dentists, in the end, they need high levels of predictability. When you're determining a direction that you want to practice, you've got to create a predictable way of doing it on a daily basis that doesn't require a lot of brain space. It's beneficial for the team, the experience of the patient, no different than a pilot flying a plane, doing the best job, or a server working in a restaurant. If they're working in a high-end restaurant, they need to know that all the systems in back so that I can deliver on my promises. So ultimately, I love where you're going with this. And that's one of the biggest gaps, is creating a predictable way to operate every day and to improve it. Because when you find gaps in them, you can often improve the system, and it includes experience. Now, another thing that I love a lot of your thinking. You're not a big fan of the case presentation work. Like, even though we use it, in health-centered dentistry, explain your process or thought process around that?
Well, again, it's verbiage is important, right? And so a presentation is, you know, by the word is, presentation. You know, I've got this all set up, and now it's time to present it. Mm-hmm. And historically in dentistry, as you know, it's okay, the patient's coming back and I've got to have the treatment plan ready. This is the case presentation. Right. And if they say no to this, I got to be ready for that. So what if they say no to that? And if they say no to that, so you got four treatment plans ready to go. And it's like you're guessing everything they might say, and you got to be ready for that. And so here's the presentation for today. And there's a lot of anxiety around it those days. And then do they say yes or do they say no? And if they say no, then all of them, and we suck today, and I suck as a dentist, and now we don't get to do the dentistry, now I'm going to go broke, and you just go down that path, right? So for, it's not that bad for everybody, but that's what case presentation really is. It's like this huge deal. Whereas if you're, and you said earlier, the co-diagnosis, you know, Bob Barkley, you know, coined that term, and co-diagnosis and co-discovery is really about, again, helping them see where they are, helping them see what's possible, and then deciding what is the appropriate step to start moving towards health. So if we start that early, and leverage is a big word I use, right? Like if we start that from the time they call, and that's our environment all the way through, we have systems set up to support that. When it comes time to talk about treatment, really the question is, well, what makes sense to help us move towards health for you? And let's figure that out together. Because they've already seen health, they know what's possible, they see the value, we've helped them see that it's that there's hope to move in that direction, and then what's appropriate for you? So the conversation on, as opposed to case presentation, is, well, we've sort of looked at everything, sounds like you got it, what makes sense to you? Mm-hmm. And then having a conversation. But again, if the dentist doesn't know what optimal is and no understand dentistry, then that conversation is really uncomfortable because they don't have the confidence to get the patient there.
Yeah.
But when you do have that depth and breadth of dental knowledge, and then you use the co-discovery, co-diagnosis process, case presentation really is a, sounds to me like what's appropriate for you is this. And the patient's like, yeah, I get like, yeah, totally. I guess so. That's sort of what it looks like. And like, sweet. You know, it's not such a big presentation, but it takes having, again, systems in place all the way to that process so that it isn't so overwhelming or stressful or, oh my God, I have to be ready for everything they're going to say. You figured out together. It's co-discovery.
Yeah. And you've been training young dentists for a long time. You got a chance to see, I mean, you've had dentists come to you that are just fresh out of practice and they're excited about this. And I get these questions too, Kevin. Like, let's say I'm a 32-year-old dentist. I'm watching this. And I go, Kevin, makes sense. But like, I got 5,000 patients, all PPO. Like, you get them too. So what would you say to that? Like, and a career ahead of you as a dentist.
Yeah, yeah. And so you might be in corporate dentistry. You might be in, you know, whatever it is where you're like, I don't have time for that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can still start doing things with intention. I promise you, Kirk, that the majority of dentists out there that are in that environment where to pay off their debt and their bills and to support their family, they're just trying to do the dentistry. I promise you that most of them go home and go, I can be better than this. I know there's more out there. And so can you do that in corporate dentistry or in the FAST model? You know what? You can. You can do an abbreviated version of the comprehensive exam, if you will. You can quickly evaluate the joints and the muscles and look at the bite and see how the teeth are bumping each other. You can do that in 5 minutes, which is a hell of a lot better than not looking at all and saying, I don't have time. It's just the way you're looking at things in those 10 minutes as opposed to the way you were looking at those things in 10 minutes. And it's key verbal skills or the behavioral side of it that can help patients see health with intention, right? So you tweak a few things, and even in those busy practices, you're changing the way you're talking to dentists. We still got to go, but yet you're helping them move towards health a little more intentionally. So I know it sounds really simple, but then in the end, it sort of is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Getting back to the simple. Now you're out there, you get a chance to go into other people's practices. People that are on this path, they want to create health center dentistry and monitored practice. When you walk into an office, what's the biggest consistent challenge you see in a lot of these offices that you're like, oh, there it is again. You know, there it is again. What is it?
I'd say there's two. One it's the team, right? And the team is that way, whatever way we want them to be, because the dentist doesn't feel confident with the leadership skills or doesn't have a vision of where they want to go. We talked about that earlier. And if that's not clear to you, then you're just throwing spaghetti at a wall every day and hoping it works because there's no foundation as to where you want to go. And then the team doesn't know what to do. So I walk in and there's just, you know, teams they want to be there, but they have no guidance. They have no flow. And the dentist is just like, yeah, and my team, you know, they don't get it. And I'm like, well, what have you done to help them get it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your why, if you will? Because if they don't know your why, then how can they help you? If you don't develop some systems around your why, then how can they get it? So I would say team is probably the biggest one. You walk in and you're like, yep, I know. And that's okay. And you're going to be fine. And you're not alone. And then the other is going to courses, whether they be high level or not, and then just not integrating because they don't integrate with intention. They come back and they're busy and they don't know how to take steps to integrate what they've learned. And again, there's a downward spiral because then they're moping all day. They're like, well, I'm spending money. I'm learning all this. I can't do it. And then there's this downward spiral of honestly depression and anxiety in dentists because they start feeling like they suck, but that's because they haven't intentionally made sure they don't suck, I guess. I don't know how to say that nicely.
Well, and I think you get caught in the gap where you're going to courses where you can see gorgeous dentistry, beautiful dentistry, optimal, ideal. And then you go back and you're like, oh, I'm not there yet. And then you constantly get frustrated by what you know could be and what is, instead of saying, hey, look, let's just take these little steps and moving in that direction. But Kevin, I run into a lot of dentists that do incredible education. Do you have a system or methodology? Like if you're going to spend $6,000 on a course, yeah, and it's going to be a weekend course, like what should I, shouldn't I have like a team meeting plan when I get back? Should I take notes during the course? And I even watch these dentists during the course. They don't take any notes too. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, how can you sit for 3 days and not write anything? And they just go like this. And I'm like, are you getting it all? Because I don't even remember what the guy said 5 minutes ago. So give us some methodology or tips behind this.
Yeah, well, you sort of already said it. I mean, yes, notes. But honestly, it's while it's still fresh, it's what are the key points that if you could go back tomorrow and integrate, and it wasn't a problem, like but if you could, the things that you have learned that if you could go back to back tomorrow and just do it, write those two or three things down. I mean, yes, you've taken other notes, but grab your, man, it's these points that I got that if I could just do tomorrow, I would do. So you got it, because otherwise you have nothing, right? But then, like you said, it really is team meetings. And I mean, like, you know, people are so opposed to even half day team meetings. They're like, yeah, but that's production. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't take a half day. And it's like, you take a half a day once a month and your production goes up, because everybody's on the same page. And so at your monthly meeting, say you're a hygienist, Kirk, you're a hygienist and you just went and took some CE. Well, that month at our half day team meeting, you get a half hour to help all of us understand what you learned at that meeting. And then we can talk about integrating that. And so for me, it's very intentional team meetings that are structured every month, that, and part of that is, what do we want to integrate and how do we create systems around it? So it's, again, it sounds so simple because it can be if you do it with intention. If you have those team meetings once a month and that's part of it, then you get to integrate that stuff.
Right. Well, teams that are serious about being good teams are serious about creating methods to communicate, which means you have to land the airplane to fix it. And everybody knows that. Even the highest producers in the United States have dedicated time to talk to the most important people, which are our team members. Now,
land the plane to fix it? Did you say you have to land the plane?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite analogies. You can't fix, like so many dentists are trying to fix an airplane in the air. Oh, the window's broken out. Okay. You know what I mean? Like they're fixing it while they're flying. No. Great airplane. I mean, you look at Southwest, if you look, you can actually see all this online. You know, recently they did have challenges, but for 51 years, I mean, their protocols for what they do on the ground, unmatched. I mean, as far as, you know, because they know that the time spent on the maintenance side of it, and, you know, Kevin, you're an athlete too. You also know this. You run a marathon, triathlon, Ironman, and, you know, the most important part of any training is the recovery process. I mean, you got to be able to do well while you're not performing, and even athletes know this. Musicians, I mean, some of the best, you know, I'm a big, because of the sleep thing, you look at the best athletes in the world, some of them now get unbelievable levels of sleep. You know, there's arguments that LeBron gets as much as 10 or 12 hours of sleep when he plays. Tom Brady, 9 hours of sleep. Federer, when he was at his prime, did 9 to 10 hours of sleep. Even the greatest violinists, in the world sleep on average 2 hours more per day than the average human being does in the world. So you can get a good sense of what downtime means for the uptime, because work, you know, to crank it out is just a bad philosophy. And even I heard this morning, I heard it in news in passing just while the TV was on downstairs, that there's an argument in the world that the 4-hour work week is actually more productive than the 5-hour work week. Now, we've known this in dentistry forever. Yeah. I asked dentists, raise your hand if you've ever gone from 5 days or 5 days to 4 days. And dentists go like this. And then I go, keep your hands up if you lost money. And they're all like, no, I made more money when I dropped a day. So I think the whole concept is that, and no different than family, and you got to land the airplane to work on it so that it flies better when it, you know. Now, I have this question I always want to ask you, because you're out there saying, tell me what you think the future is going to look like. When you look at the future of healthcare, now we can only guess, but I love learning, you know, what's the future of healthcare, dentistry, and modern practice look like for the next couple of years based on what you're seeing?
Yeah, well, God, that's a great question. Healthcare in general, in dentistry incorporated into that, is sort of, again, the pendulum swung and then it swung back and now it's going to move back. It really is coordinated care. And for better or worse, Airway has really helped bring that into us. It has helped us be more coordinated. We already talk about interdisciplinary care, you know, involving your orthodontist and your periodontist and, you know, your endodontist, all your specialists, your surgeons. You want to bring them in, but truly coordinated care to help people move towards health. It is the future. I mean, we're working because of Airway. We are really, I mean, you know this really well. We are so starting to mingle traditional healthcare into the dental world to help patients move towards health. So again, I mean, you know, it started years ago with Frank up in Seattle. I mean, it was all the time sitting down with his specialists and going over cases. When I was in Portland years and years ago, I mean, once a month, I would sit down with my periodontist and orthodontist. And no, my endodontist didn't come. I'm sorry for the endodontist. But it really was just my orthodontist and periodontist at that time. But we would sit down once a month and go over, okay, we'd take, you know, go to dinner and everything and talk about cases. Now those dinners are the psychologist, the ENT,
you know, you got
ENT. I mean, in a couple of weeks, I'm having some airway surgery, and you know, and it's coordinated. My primary health care provider knows. I mean, it's coordinated care. True coordinated care is the future. But man, it's not coming easy, is it? It's taking work.
Oh, well, it's a tremendous opportunity in the future, dentistry. And Kevin, I'm so grateful. Now, I know people that are watching this, they're going to want to find out more about you. You speak to study clubs. You do a lot of online presentations. You're doing a lot of the bigger meetings now. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, find out, keep in mind, people are listening to this on iTunes. How can I find more about Dr. Kevin Cretian?
You can just, my cell number, no, I'm kidding. Actually, I have a website that's just ksquaredfacilitation.com, ksquared Kevin Cretian, but ksquaredfacilitation.com, and it's got my contact info and some of the more popular presentations, sort of descriptions of them, and then sort of talks about some other things I do and some testimonials and stuff. It's a pretty basic webpage right now, but that's how you can contact me.
Yeah, sounds good, buddy. Well, I always appreciate all the time we have together. I've enjoyed getting to know you, watching you take off and be a great voice in dentistry. And I'm grateful that you carve out some time today, just hang out with us and share your thoughts. So
I say this from my heart, Kirk. I am equally as grateful. And it means a lot to me that you reached out to me and like more than you know. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, brother. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. And thank you guys for watching today. I really appreciate you tuning in. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions like you already have this morning, and things that you'd love to see with Kevin here in the future. I'll get him back and we'll ask him the tough questions and make him sweat a little bit, all that kind of stuff. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.